If you would like to read along with me in the scripture reading today, I'll ask you to go ahead and turn to the first chapter of Daniel. I want to, before I read, I want to say this, as I've already asked you. I want you to pray today that God will help me to bring before you the things that He has placed upon my heart. And if you hear something today in this, the things that I have to share with you today, if you hear something in this that bothers you, if you hear something in this that perhaps makes you feel uncomfortable or perhaps even convicted, if you hear something maybe that makes you angry, all I ask of you is that you consider in the light of God's word, is it true? Is it true? You know, the truth needs to be proclaimed, and we need to receive the truth no matter how it might make us feel. If it's truth, we need it. And I want to begin reading here in the first chapter of Daniel with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should ye see, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And that's reading those first 16 verses of Daniel chapter 1 for a scripture reading. Now, I'd like to take a text today from a thought that's found in the 12th chapter of Romans. And what I'd like to speak about today is the identity of the children of God. The identity of the children of God. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul here said in this, in writing to the Romans, that he said to them, be not conformed to this world. And I want to share with you a definition of that, of being conformed. He was saying, don't be made to resemble the world, or don't be reduced to a likeness of the world. How many heard Brother Mullins this morning on the old-fashioned gospel hour? I sat and listened to that, and I just rejoiced in that message. And Brother Mullins made reference in his message today that the people of God look too much like the world. And I say amen. We do. We have allowed ourselves already to become too conformed to the world. And why was it necessary? What is the importance here? Why did the Apostle Paul find it necessary? And why, writing under inspiration of God, did he find it necessary to write to these people that they would not be conformed to this world? Well, because that's exactly what the devil wants. It's exactly what he wants to do with the people of God. He wants us to be conformed to the world, and he loves it when we lose our identity. And so that's what will happen if we are conformed to the world. Now, I want to go back to what I read in the first chapter of Daniel. And this wasn't something that just happened suddenly. This wasn't just something that happened on a whim. What happened here when Judah was taken captive there in Babylon, what we read about here in the first chapter of Daniel was a fulfillment of perhaps 100 or more years of prophecy. If you go back to the 39th chapter of the book of Isaiah, you'll find there an account of a time during the reign of Hezekiah. Now, the prophet Isaiah, his work as a prophet spanned the reign of four kings. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were all kings of Judah during the years that Isaiah served the Lord as a prophet. And it was during the reign of Hezekiah that in the 39th chapter of Isaiah, it speaks about the king of Babylon at that time sending letters and a gift to Hezekiah because he had heard about him being sick. And when they came, Hezekiah received them with joy, and he took those men from Babylon and he showed them all of the treasures of his house. And when they left, Isaiah had three questions for Hezekiah. He said, who were these men? Where did they come from? And what did you show them? And Hezekiah's answer to Isaiah was, well, these men, they have come from a far country, even from Babylon. And I showed them all of the treasures of my house. There's not anything that I have that they did not see. And Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah. He said, I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that there's going to come a time when your descendants, your sons and your sons' sons, are going to be captive in this land. They're going to serve the Babylonians, and there's not anything that you have of your treasures that you have shown them that will not be taken into Babylon. And this was, as I say, this was probably about 100 years or so before
these events that we see unfolding in the first chapter of Daniel took place. Jeremiah also prophesied of the impending doom that was going to come. He also prophesied of the fact that they were going to be taken, that the people of God were going to be taken into captivity in Babylon. And so we find in the first chapter of Daniel, in these things that I read before you this morning, that when they, when Nebuchadnezzar sieged Jerusalem, and this was, from what I understand, this was the first of three times that he did that. He came again in the reign of Jehoiachin and also in the reign of Zedekiah. And so this was the first of three times that he sieged Jerusalem. He took away all the treasures of the house of God and took them to the house of his false god. And he also took some of the inhabitants into Babylon with him. And among those were Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Now, what he did first was that he set out with a plan to conform them. He wanted to change them. He wanted to take away their identity as to who they were. He wanted to make them look like the Babylonians and live like the Babylonians and act like the Babylonians. And his plan in this was he took their he took away their Hebrew names. He didn't take away their Hebrew names, but he gave them new names. He changed their names, and he even wanted to, according to what we read here, he even wanted to change their physical appearance. He wanted to fatten them up. He wanted to feed them the king's meat. He wanted to give them wine. He wanted to make them look like those that they were among. Now, these young men, and I believe at this time these four men that we're speaking about were all relatively young men when they were taken into Babylon. And so he wanted to take them and change them that he might use them in his kingdom. And so he set out to do that. Now the Bible tells us that Daniel, he wasn't going to have anything to do with Nebuchadnezzar's plan. He wasn't, he purposed in his heart. I'll tell you what, there's some things as the children of God that we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to remain steadfast, unmovable, and abound in the work of the Lord, and we are not going to be changed. We need the resolve in the day that we live in, and I'll get into this perhaps a little bit later on if the Lord will help me, but we need the resolve that Daniel had that we're not going to have anything to do with this conforming that the devil wants to do to us. But I believe that we have had, don't you? I believe we have given in to him far too much. These young men suddenly found themselves in a different culture. They were a long ways away from their homeland, and they found themselves among a different culture, and they found themselves among people that were not tolerant of their ways. And you know, the nation that we live in is becoming that way more and more and more all the time. They are becoming less tolerant of the things that you and I believe, of the things that you and I stand for. The country that we live in becomes less tolerant of these things all the time, and they want us to change. They want us to conform. The world today wants us to conform to their way of thinking, don't they? Brother Collins, in our business meeting Sunday evening. I know most of you weren't here to hear this. But Brother Collins, in our business meeting Sunday night, he was talking about sharing with the church his burden for us to have a tent revival for the brethren from Africa while they're here, and the preachers of the church to have a tent revival. And he made a statement, and I believe it's true. And I may get the time frame wrong that he used, but I can still make the point. But Brother Collins made the statement that the city of Bowling Green is not what it was. I believe he might have said 20 years ago. 20 years ago goes by pretty quick, doesn't it? But he was talking about how that even in the city of Bowling Green, that it has changed over a span of about 20 years. And listen, America has changed drastically in much less time than that. I'll tell you what, there are some things that are accelerating at a pace that are unbelievable, aren't they? Not very many years ago. Not very many years ago in this nation. And what I want to try to get across today, what I want to try to help us to see today, is that we are suddenly living in a much different culture than what we have been accustomed to. And there are things that are happening here that we would have never really even thought of just a few short years ago. Listen, it hasn't been very many years ago in this nation that someone that owned a bakery would not have had to worry about their business being harassed because of their Christian beliefs, because of their refusal to provide the service of a cake for someone that wanted to marry someone of their same sex. That wasn't even imagined not too long ago here, was it? So we are seeing some things that are changing very quickly. And they're very drastic changes. And the children of Judah found themselves suddenly in a very different culture. But they were determined to remain identified as the people of God. Daniel was determined, the Bible tells us here, that he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. He was not going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to change him and make him into what he wanted him to be. And we need to be of that same mindset and of that same resolve that we will not let the world conform us. You know what? Listen, it is not supposed to be the world that has an influence on the people of God. It's supposed to be the people of God that has an influence on the world. Well, they did that. They had an influence on these people there in Babylon. The Bible proves this, and I'll share some of this with you. But they took a stand to the point that they did indeed have an influence upon even upon the king of Babylon. They had a great influence upon him. So Daniel said, you know, it's just not in my heart to allow this to happen. You just let us have the vegetables. You just let us have the water. We don't need the meat. We don't need the wine. You just give us something meager. I mean, he really put faith in the Lord. And you give us a period of time, and you see if God doesn't bless this to where you won't be in trouble anyway. And so he did that. And the Bible tells us that at the end of those days, at the end of 10 days, that their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than the others. God was with them. I'll tell you what, listen, if we will stand with God, I mean if we will stand firm for the Lord and stand firm and solid on his word, God will bless us and be our helper, won't he? He sure will. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So they begin to try to turn them away from their God. They built a big idol. They wanted them to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Their decree was that when you hear the music played, that you are to worship this idol. But these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Chaldean names anyway, these men were determined that they were not going to renounce their faith in God. They were not going to turn away from the God of their salvation and serve an idol God. And they were willing even to die, rather than to do that. Well, they were apprehended. They were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. He questioned them as to why they had refused, why they had broken his decree, why they had refused to fall down and worship the idol that he had made. And they said, well, we're not careful, O king, to answer you in this matter. The God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. And if not, we're still not going to turn against him and worship your idols. And these were not men that were just going to get a slap on the wrist. They were going to be thrown into a furnace of fire for refusing to bow to the idol. You know, I was listening this morning. I want you to think about this. I was listening this morning in Sunday school. Brother Ernie was leading, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hands. Boy, it's pretty easy for us to sing that song under the circumstances we have, isn't it? It's pretty easy for us when we sit in comfort, when we sit in luxury, and it's easy for us to sing that song. But what about if the whip is being laid to your back? What about if the scourge is being used on you? What about if they're threatening your life? If they say, we're going to take your life away from you if you don't turn against him? How about then? How about singing then, I'd rather have Jesus? I'll tell you what, the true test of who God's people really are has come through persecution more than anything. It's been in times when it wasn't popular to follow Jesus, when it wasn't favorable to follow the Lord Jesus, when people were threatened for mentioning the name of Jesus. It's been in those times that the people of God have really shined as to who they are. You know, I believe this. I believe that the Lord blessed the labors of those men in the early years of our nation. I believe he blessed men like Lewis Craig and Elijah Craig and Samuel Harris and Ware and Weber and all of those men that Leland, all those men that fought hard to secure religious liberty. I believe that God blessed those men. I believe he blessed their efforts. I believe that he gave them the victory. But you know, it seems to me like somewhere along the way, under the cloak of religious liberty, we begin to lose our identity. And you know, We see things happening in our nation today, and certainly there are things that we need to stand up for, and there are things that we need to stand against, and you can see the history of God's people and the courage that they have found in the Lord to be willing to stand in the face of adversity and stand up for that which is right. Let me tell you something. John the Baptist didn't lose his head because of the fact that he wore a leather girdle. He didn't lose his head because he dressed funny. He lost his head because he stood up for the truth. He was thrown into prison and ended up losing his head because he stood boldly before Herod and said, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And there are some things, folks, that we need to stand boldly against. But listen, perhaps the time will come. I can't say today. I want to give you this to think about. Perhaps the time is coming. Perhaps it's even at our doorstep. When it's not God's will for us anymore to enjoy the religious liberty that we've had, perhaps God will allow persecution to come upon us again that we might be identified for who we really are. Isn't that what happened in Jerusalem? Wasn't it God allowing persecution against the church at Jerusalem that really got the work of God moving? They were there together. They had all things common. They were putting all things into a common treasury. And there was a great persecution that arose against the church at Jerusalem. And when that persecution came, the Bible says that they were scattered abroad, and they that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And churches begin to be organized, and the work of God begin to flourish under persecution. You see, persecution in the big picture hasn't always been, I mean, it's not always been something that has had a negative effect. In many ways, under persecution, the work of God flourished. It flourished. And who knows the way things are coming about? Who knows the changes that we are even yet about to see? These men were resolved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took the furnace over the idol. They were willing to be thrown in to the furnace rather than turn against God and worship a false god. Daniel was willing to take the den of lions rather than to let them take away his gift of prayer and his liberty to pray. You know, they made a decree that you're just not to pray to your God anymore. And the Bible says Daniel, when he knew the decree was, when he knew the writing was signed, he went into his chamber just like he had before, three times a day, with his window open, kneeling, facing the holy city of Jerusalem, and there he prayed. In the fifth chapter of Daniel, when Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, had succeeded him as king, and he was having a party, and he was worshiping and praising all of these idols, and there was a hand that came and wrote on the wall, "You've been weighed in the balance, and you're found wanting." Well, he did like Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had done before. He called the wise men to him, and they could not interpret this writing. They couldn't tell him what this was all about. And so he heard from the queen about Daniel, who in the past had been able to reveal things like this through his God. And so he called for Daniel, and Daniel came into him, and he had offered great gifts to the wise men of his kingdom, to the astrologers, to the Chaldeans. He had offered them great gifts if they could tell him what this was about. And they couldn't. And he called for Daniel. And he told Daniel, if you can show me the interpretation of this, you'll be clothed with scarlet. You'll have a chain of gold around your neck. You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. And you know what Daniel said? You can keep all that. I mean, he didn't want any of it, did he? He didn't want any of it. He didn't want anything that they were trying to give him. He wanted to stay identified as who he was, a child and a servant of the Most High God. Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that the time is here, and even the time is even swiftly approaching, or it will be much worse. That if you really want to stand for God, you're going to have to be willing to suffer the persecution. You believe that? You know what? Listen, if you don't believe it today, that's your prerogative, but I believe it. I believe the time is here that if we're really going to make a stand, if we're really going to stand for God, we're going to take a hit for doing it. The media today crucifies people, don't they, for standing up for what they believe. Now, here's the choice. You can continue to live your life in tranquility and maybe not be disturbed if you choose not to take a stand. The Apostle Peter bought himself some time, didn't he? For a while he did. Jesus said, he had told Jesus that he was willing to die with him. And the Lord said, no, listen, before you hear the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. And when he stood there, when they had taken Jesus there into the judgment hall, and Peter stood out there by the fire warming himself, and someone said, you were with him. What did he say? No, I wasn't. I don't even know him. And for a while, he escaped. But later on, when he really began to serve the Lord and really began to stand for the Lord, he ended up being martyred. The Bible says, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, before anybody jumps up and says, I'm ready. No, we're not. We better pray that God will give us the strength. The Apostle Peter said, I'm ready, didn't he? I'll go, Jesus, I'll die with you. And the Lord said, no, you won't. We'll need the help of God. We will need the Lord's help for the things that we will face. But listen, I want you to think about this. I want you to really consider this. Are we willing, in the day when it has become very unpopular, are we willing to really stand for this? Are we really willing to stand for the things that God has told us in his word? Are we willing to stand like John the Baptist did? Even before the authorities, even before those, the leaders who are trying to force things down our throat and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. Think about that. When it disrupts your life, when it brings trouble, when it brings persecution. I believe it's worth it. I'll tell you what I think. I think when Stephen made his stand, you read about that in the 7th chapter of Acts. I believe when God's servant Stephen made his stand, when they began to stone him, when they began to take those big stones and beat his body with them, when the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he looked steadfastly into heaven and he saw Jesus. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I believe that that just blessed that man so much. I believe that was such a great consolation to him that the stones didn't matter anymore. Listen, whatever comes, the hardships that may come, know this, that the blessings of God will outweigh them all. The comfort that God is able to give us will outweigh them all. And just remember this, just look up. The view is great up there. Just look up to the one that's on our side. You know, when the children of Israel were on the Exodus and God called Moses there into the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments, when he came down, he saw what the Israelites were doing. They had melted the gold. They had made an idol. They had made the golden calf. They were worshiping that. They were dancing to that and worshiping that idol. And the question was asked, who is on the Lord's side? Well, I think we're getting ready to find out, don't you? Who is really on the Lord's side? There was a time, and I want to finish what I was saying. I want you to understand what I meant about our religious freedoms. I believe that the time came when we just kind of blended in. We just kind of blended in for a while with the rest. I mean, haven't you ever heard, I know I've heard this many times, haven't you ever heard somebody ask the question, well, you've got this denomination, you've got this denomination, what's the big difference? What's the big difference? Well, you're getting ready to find out. We're seeing things already among other denominations, things that they're giving into, things that they're supporting that are just evil. Amen. Evil. And I'll tell you what, they're beginning to be exposed for who they really are. And the people of God, I believe, will be identified. Perhaps, again, we'll recover some of that for who that the true people of God really are. And I want you to think about this, because this is not hypothetical, folks. This is reality. This is reality. The Christian nation that America has been in the past is quickly changing, quickly changing. And we're going to no doubt feel the ramifications of that. So those are the things that God placed upon my heart. Let us be like Daniel. God, help us to be like Daniel. Let us resolve that you're not going to change us. We're going to be like a tree planted by the water that cannot be moved. We have a song.